Seated. Greetings in Jesus' name, in His name which is and was and is to come, the Almighty. And I'm excited to share about our Lord Jesus this morning. Before we kneel for prayer, I want to speak about three words in the New Testament there's three words in the Greek that are translated power. One of them is dunamis, the next one is exousia, and the next one is kratos. And those three words are translated power. As you notice, this is not my complete title, but I want to keep your interest in where we're going here. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about these three words. And dunamis is simply force, power, ability. And it's also translated as wonderful works. It's translated as virtue. When that woman touched Jesus and that virtue flowed from Jesus to that heal that woman, that was dunamis. And that's where we get our English word dynamite from. And I was so excited and blessed as I studied, thinking about how that same power that healed that woman is available for us today, that dunamis of God. And then we have the word exousia, which is translated authority about half the time and power about half the time. Freedom to exercise one's mental and physical powers, ability, is also translated as liberty, strength, right. And then we have the word kratos, which is translated dominion, power, also translated power. And I was just excited about this. 1 Peter 5:1 says, who are kept by the dunamis of God, the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That dynamite power of God is what keeps us, praise the Lord. And in Luke, there's another verse that has these words in there. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with exousia, authority, and dunamis, power, Jesus commandeth the unclean spirits, they come out. So let's kneel for prayer. Lord, this morning we just want to stand in awe at your power to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. Lord, we thank you for the life-changing power that is still alive today and how you can save to the uttermost them that call upon you. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of your mercies, but we call upon you to change us into your image, Lord. We pray that the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead could be living in our midst, Lord. We pray that we could be your witnesses wherever we go. Help us, Lord, to not forget the name of Jesus in our daily life. Just pray that you'd be with each one that's not here, and especially with the Whitmer family, Lord, would you encourage them, strengthen them, Lord. Brother Joshua's and Tanzania, Lord. We just commit all these requests. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, why don't you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And here is a few verses that have all three of these Greek words in it. We're going to begin reading in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? That's the word dunamis. To usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, that's kratos, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all power, exousia, and might, dunamis, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, does anyone have an idea what the rest of the title should say? Of God? Pretty close. Jesus, there we go. Amen. So that's what's on my heart, to speak about the power of Jesus' name. We sing the song, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. And crown Him Lord of all." In Jeremiah, there's a verse that says, "Do not I fill heaven and earth?" And my heart and goal by this message today is that we could spend some time trying to grasp the greatness of Jesus' name and how He fills heaven and earth. Now let's turn our Bibles over to Philippians chapter 2. Here we have a wonderful summary of the power of Jesus' name. Paul writes here, Philippians 2, chapter 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Praise the Lord. Jesus did not have to steal His position. He was God. He did not have to try to rob a position like Satan. He tried to assume that He wanted to be like God, but Jesus never had to do that. He was God. He was the express image of the Father. And the beauty in my heart and mind this morning is how, even though Jesus was God and He was the Almighty, the Creator, yet He willingly chose to humble Himself. And He could have called for 72,000 angels to protect Him and keep Him from going to the cross. It says in Matthew 26, I could have called for more than 12 legions of angels. Just imagine. Just think about it. Try to grasp how much love he had for us. That he was willing to, he actually gave Pilate the power. Like he said, Pilate said, you know, don't you know, Jesus, that I have the power to crucify and release you? And Jesus said, you have no power but what God has given you. So just imagine, Jesus gave Pilate the power to do that. I mean, can you just grasp with your mind how the love and the vision past the present that he had to endure the cross, and he actually gave his persecutors the power to do what they did, and he willingly did it. It's so awesome. Hebrews 1:4 says that Jesus has a much greater name than the angels. God has given Jesus a much more excellent name than the angels. And in retrospect to that, Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And I hope all of us can get a burden for that, that wherever we go, we're not promoting ourselves. We're not promoting faith. We're not promoting our religion or our culture. We're promoting Christ and lifting him up before people. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. There's a story of a missionary. Some of you probably will recognize this, but he was preaching to the cannibals and the headhunters, and one day he went on a preaching mission, and he was having trouble with the people not hearing him right. They were hearing him with their ears, but their stomachs were not hearing him, or their heart was not hearing him. So the one day he went out and was going to preach, and on the way to preaching, he happened to cross over a snake that was in the jungle, and his native guide said, you dumb missionary, you know what you just did? You crossed over the devil's snake, and he's going to come and he's going to torment you, and you're going to be in big trouble. And not much longer, there was this deafening screaming in the jungle right beside the missionary as he walked. And he just froze in his tracks. And he started crying out to God, Lord, what shall I do? Then he remembered about resisting Satan in the name of Jesus. So he said, in the name of Jesus, I resist Satan, and just like that screaming stopped, and the power of Jesus' name, amen. And he went on to preach, and that day 40 natives gave their lives to the Lord. Let's not forget the power of Jesus' name. Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in Jesus' name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And these signs, I believe, are still alive and real today at the forefront of the gospel, going out into heathen lands. We still see these things today. And we've seen some in our midst as well, praise the Lord. There's a story of a couple that were assaulted by two wicked men in a motel. And these murderers were on the loose, and they didn't hear the news. And here come these men into their motel room, and hands up, get on the floor. And the old lady, or I'm not sure how old, but just started calmly singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And started walking straight, slowly walking toward these men, singing, "Jesus loves me." And all of a sudden, he said, "We've got some religious freaks here. Let's get out of here." And they turned tail and got out of there. The power of Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a few things I'm going to look at. I'm going to look at things that the Father has given to Jesus. He's given him honor. First point, he's given him glory. He's given him authority, and he's given him power. Things that Jesus has. So, what I want to do is have 10 brothers volunteer to read a verse, and I'll put this mic over like this, and I like 10 brothers. I'll call out the verse. You can come up here, just form a line, and read the verse, or a couple verses, and then you can sit back down. So I need a volunteer to read Matthew 9, 3 to 8. Go ahead. And why don't you can just come and stand here till we have everyone lined up, and then, okay, I need another one to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Luke 4, 14 to 15, and 15. Luke 4, that's Luke 4, 14 to 15. If you raise your hands quick. Luke 4, 32 to 37. Adam. Luke 10, 17 through 20. Joseph. John 10, 17 and 18. Benjamin. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Philippians 3, verse 10. Marlon. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. And Revelations 5, 11 through 14. Brandon. Okay. So, go ahead. And we'll just go from one to the next. That was Matthew 9, 3 through 8. And you go ahead and read loud, clear, and then just the next, you can just call right through.
And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the sick of palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men.
Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the year of the world. Amen.
Luke 4:14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and they went out, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of them.
And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about.
Luke 10:17-20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven.
John 10:17-18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death.
Colossians 2:9-10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power.
Revelation 5:11-14. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Now we can just close the service and go home. Amen. That last verse in Revelation is just one of the most awesome passages in the Bible, where you see the Amen of the ages, where Christ is ruling forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Let's look first at honor. The honor that God the Father has given Jesus. We see it all throughout the New Testament that the Father has bestowed on Christ honor. And John 5:22 says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, Jesus honoreth not the Father that hath sent him. John 8:54 says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. So it's very clear that the Father bestowed on Christ honor. And simply, the meaning in the Webster's is high estimation, dignity, reverence, veneration, exalted rank. And Christ is the only one worthy of that. Amen. He's the only one worthy of our honor. And today there's many other things calling for our honor and for our worship, would you say? But I just want to encourage us to be very jealous over our honor for Christ. And don't let this world and its temporary allurements get your honor. Let's keep that honor in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just say, if someone doesn't honor Jesus, they're the loser. I mean, no matter what you're going to face throughout your life, if you stay close to Jesus, you're going to be the winner. Amen. And no matter if you have to lose whatever you got to lose of this temporal life, and you gain Christ, you gain eternity, it's going to be worth it. Praise the Lord. He alone is exalted above all other names in honor. And we're going to look at glory. God the Father has given to Jesus glory. Now, I thought this was a very interesting. The the Latin word is gloria. So we sing that song. About glory. Yeah, it says the chorus has that word in there. And also the Latin word floreo is in the same family of words, and it's where we get our word flower or blossom from. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful how the glory or the brightness, the outshining that Christ has is just like a beautiful flower that blooms in the spring. And Christ has more brightness and more luster and more splendor than any name that ever was named on the earth. And I hope you really love Jesus. I hope that this is precious to you. That I hope Christ is shining in your mind and brilliant. And there's been times where it hasn't been so bright in my mind, and today it is bright, and I'm wanting that for all of us. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And then we have the story of the three disciples as they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You could turn to Luke chapter 9. Here we have a demonstration of Christ's glory, maybe a foretaste of his glorified body, or a picture in the middle of his ministry. Okay, let's begin reading. Verse 29, and as he prayed, as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. That sounds really glorious, doesn't it? And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Now, isn't that almost like an oxymoron? How can there be such a brilliant shining going on here and such a deep sleep coming over them? Anyway, and when they were awake, so they woke up at some point, they saw his glory. They saw the glorified Christ. And it came to pass as they departed, Peter said, Master, it's good for us to be here. Why don't we make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. Let's just stay here. This is such a good moment. I don't want to lose this moment. Anyway, a cloud came, overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Beautiful. The shining and the glory of Christ. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 2:11 talks about how Jesus turned the water to wine, and then it says at the end, and this beginning of miracles, Jesus manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's almost like I get the picture of when we're witnessing or when we're sharing, that we're like, want to reflect people to see Christ's face and want to show the brightness of Christ to others. 2 Peter 3:8, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What a beautiful thing the Father has given to Jesus. He's given him glory. And let's do the same, brothers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at authority. God has given authority to Jesus. The Webster's, it talks about the legal power or a right to command or to act. Jesus has the authority to execute judgment. Talks about in John 5. Let's turn over there to John chapter 5. Verse 25. John 5:25 says, Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, like we heard in our verses. All power. Just try to grasp that. He even had power over that tornado, and he somehow allowed it. Somehow, God allows things to happen to us that we don't understand. Very hard things at times. Maybe loss of loved ones, disasters. But I believe he wants to bring glory to himself by our weakness and by our trials. God wants to get glory to himself. Paul talks about the power of Christ, or the dunamis of Christ, being revealed through his weakness. It's amazing how God works. Let's read here. Actually, we did read that. A few more verses. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. This is John 5:28. In the which that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. What a outstanding. Can you? Is there anyone else that can make the dead hear his voice? There's not a single soul that has ever walked upon the earth that has the power and the authority to make the dead hear his voice. Jesus does. He can. And that's what the Bible says. Someday, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. No matter if someone's been laying in the grave for 1,000 years, they're going to hear the voice of Jesus. Amen? They're going to hear his voice someday. Matthew 7:29 says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." When Jesus spoke, it was with a power and authority that was not human. It was not from the flesh. It was not carnal. It was from his Father, from God, from the Holy Ghost. Let's turn over to Luke 20. Here we have another encounter with the Pharisees. They come to Jesus and they say, "Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Jesus, you're doing all these superhuman miracles. Tell us, who gave you this authority?" I think we can have some ideas who gave him that authority. But Jesus asked them a question. He said, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men?" And I just love how Jesus doesn't directly answer sometimes. He helps us to consider and helps us to think about the question. And anyway, they ended up getting so caught up in their own strife they could never answer him. And amazing. Luke 4:36, I want to talk a little more about that. We heard the brother that read it. "For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." There's a lot of people nowadays that have tattoos and that look, that have rings, their noses and their ears and their tongues, and very, would you say, sort of scary looking people, and people that act in a way that's intimidating. But I want to just encourage us to think about those people as having a soul. They have a soul, and their soul is bound by Satan. It's not just that body you see, but it's the spirit, the evil spirits behind that. And so when you encounter someone with a bunch of tattoos or rings or whatever, look deeper than the outside. Look deeper than their scary appearance, and talk to them about Jesus. And here Jesus has the authority and the power to cause those evil spirits to leave, as we see with the story of the Gadarene. That this man came running to Jesus. He was crying and cutting himself. He was helpless to help himself, and he cried to Jesus, and all those spirits had to leave. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. "Go ye therefore." Take his name with you. Take the name of Jesus wherever you go. Let's look at power. God has given to Jesus power. And as we saw in those Greek words, that exousia can be translated authority or power. So it's almost interlocked. That word authority and power from the word exousia. Dunamis is almost more entirely in translated power. Strength, influence, command, the right of governing, dominion, privilege. God has given to Jesus the right of governing. He's given to Jesus the right to command. So when Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another," that is his right to ask us to follow him in that way. Let's turn over to Luke. Actually, we were already in Luke. Luke 9:37. A few more verses there. Here we have the story after they come off this great, big, wonderful, shining experience up there on the mountain, where Peter says, "Lord, let's just stay here. Lord, I don't want to face real life. I just want to stay here where everything is heavenly." They come down off the mountain, and they're faced with this child that's tormented by the evil spirit. What a contrast to a mountaintop experience and now facing this. And verse 37. "And it came to pass on the next day when they were come down from the hill that much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out. They could not." And why couldn't the disciples cast him out? Jesus says to them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." Anyway, down to "And as he was coming," verse 42, "the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him to his father." Verse 43, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God." Amen. These spirits, these unclean devils, had no power. They had to go at the name of Jesus. They had to go. They had to go. Praise the Lord. Luke 21:27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So, when you go out and see that scary looking person, now I'm not wanting us to be naive. I want you to get that. Don't be naive if there's someone with a drawn gun or, you know, some. Just if the Lord prompts you, I'll say that. If the Lord prompts you to talk to someone, then listen to the Lord. But don't be naive, because this world has a lot of dangerous things going on. But just take the name of Jesus with you. And don't be afraid to sing about Jesus and mention his name to these people. I was up in Uniontown one day doing some maintenance, and was at a parts store, and there was this one of these bumping vehicles pulled in, and you know, you think of these vehicles as being these scary type of people, and anyway, but I thought maybe I'd just say something to him, so I walked over and I motioned him to roll his window down, and so he did, and as soon as he rolled his window down and saw me, he quick turned his music off, and I said, "Sir, I just want to tell you What did I tell him? Jesus is the light of the world. And to my surprise, he said, "Amen, brother." So I think we need to get past some of our fear, some of our self maybe, and speak the name of Jesus to the people we meet. Praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit more about Jesus' power. Just think of, we already spoke about the 72,000 or the 12 legions of angels. Just when Jesus rose, how many angels came to roll a stone? Was it like two or a group, a small group of angels? I'm not sure if the Bible mentions exactly how many. But if they had the power to make those men fall flat and be like dead men, what would 72,000? I mean, there was no chance. People had no chance to kill Jesus. But he did it willingly. Isn't that awesome? That's just amazing. So amazing. Jesus says in John there, we read, that he has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again. You know, we think we're at the Lord's mercy to stay alive. I don't know if you realize that. Every one of us is at God's mercy to stay alive. And so I hope we can thank the Lord every day for his protection and mercies. But Jesus, in contrast to us humans, he had the power to lay his life down and the power to take it up. It's amazing. The whole way to the cross, through his trials, the whole way through, he could have at any moment called on the angels. Yet he willingly gave himself. And now, what a contrast to nowadays, so-called Christians needing to carry a concealed carry, right? Or pepper spray. Doesn't that seem pretty carnal? I mean, it seems really carnal when Jesus willingly gave his life, and now we want to try some worldly means of protection when we're supposed to take the name of Jesus to every part of the world. Jesus said, "They that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Another thing that seems so strange to me is how a Christian woman will take her covering off, or so-called Christian, which the Bible says is a sign of power on her head, and then have to take these other carnal means of protection because she just took her protection off, or her power off. And it just doesn't make sense in my mind how God has given us in his word protection, you know, in the name of Jesus and wearing the head covering and other scriptural practices. Let's follow that, brothers. It's worth it. There's a story that I want to tell about a murderer surrenders his life to Christ. There's a tape that we have back home about a story. This sister went shopping in town one day, and when she came out of the store, this man hijacked her vehicle and said, "Get in." And he had been on the loose, running from the law, and he had just killed a few people that morning. And as soon as that happened, the Lord had given her I'll tell it as best as I know, just a calmness and a peace, And so as soon as she got in the vehicle, she said, "Sir, I'm going to pray right now." So she said, "I'm going to lay my hand on your knee and I'm going to pray." He said, "No, you won't." She said, "Yes, I will." So she laid her hand on his knee and she said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke these evil spirits and anything that is this man is evil he's up to." And after the prayer, he said, "Ma'am, don't worry, I won't hurt you." Anyway, she spent 6 hours with that murderer and witnessed to him, and he ended up surrendering his life to Christ. Totally awesome story. And I could maybe get a copy for you if you want it, but her husband was beside himself because knew that what was possibly going on. And it ended up that this man was, she took him to a bus stop in another city and came back home, and the law was there, and they said, "Now, where have you been? Where is this fella?" And she said, "I know, I'll tell you right where he is. He's sitting waiting for you in the bus stop." I said, "No way. That can't be. Yes, he is." Yeah. So they went, and they were expecting a shootout. Here was this man, this murderer, sitting, reading his Bible. And he willingly surrendered all the knives and the guns and everything he had on himself. And he willingly went with them and ended up facing the electric chair. But I was just thinking, the power of Jesus' name. And I hope none of us have to face that bad of a thing, but let's remember to take Jesus' name with us. And remember the power that he has given us in his name against these evil spirits and against all the power of the enemy. You probably remember the story in Haiti when the captives were there and this witch doctor came lunging at the brother and he said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And that witch doctor could not move one inch further. Just awesome. Power of Jesus. When is the last time that you used the name of Jesus for protection? When's the last time you mentioned the name of Jesus when you were afraid? When's the last time you ever spoke the name of Jesus to one of your neighbors? Or maybe the person at the gas station or the people that you do business with? Now, I'm talking to myself. There are people I do business with that I've never spoken about the Lord. But I want to. That's what my heart is. Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Let's not be guilty of denying the name of Jesus. Let's take that name with us wherever we go. There was a dying boy in New Guinea that the missionary did not know how to speak his language. But as he lay there dying, the missionary just said, "Yesu, Yesu, Yesu." And as this boy died, he began to say that name. I trust he made it to heaven. Let's not forget the power in the name of Jesus. In closing, let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. Here is one of my favorite passages in the Bible where we see the end of time and we see Satan being defeated, that we see our Lord Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, which is above every name," amen, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army." Now I love this next phrase. "And the beast was taken." I love that. "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, and they were both cast alive into the lake, burning with fire and brimstone." The end of all time, Jesus' name is still above every name. And that wicked beast, the false prophet that's deceiving the whole world, is going to be taken. Amen. It's going to be destroyed. And he's going to be forevermore cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. I hope there's no question whose side you want to be on. Amen. Amen. I hope there's no question in your mind. And if you're in the valley of decision today, I hope you will make a sure choice be on the winning side. Amen. A few more verses here yet before we close. Revelation, just another page over. 22. "He which testifieth these things, our Lord Jesus, saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." John talks about us not being afraid of his coming. I hope your heart is rejoicing to hear about Christ coming quickly. And if your heart is a little bit afraid, perfect love will cast out fear, and you can be right with Jesus today. Amen. The grace of our Lord be with you. Amen.